Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Federica Scarpa from the 72nd Locarno Film Festival, and today I'm in company of João Nicolau, director of Technoboss here in competition. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Hi, Fred Radio.
So, first of all, would you like to introduce your film to our audience?
Well, Technoboss evolves around the character of Luiz Rovisco, a salesman who's about to retire, and it mainly is a portrait of this moment of this man's life. I wanted to do a film about the character of this age, but avoiding all commiseration that usually surrounds discourses around aging. Basically, Luiz Rovisco is a regular guy. He has a regular job, a regular house, a very common family situation these days. But yet, what perhaps renders him, makes him unique and somehow dangerous, is that he's at peace with himself. And that's perhaps not very common to do films about people who are at ease, who have nothing to lose, no major conflict, let's say.
I think that your film is a kind of punk love story because it has these conflicts. It seems a musical, but it's not a musical. A road movie, but it's not. And also, you expect some kind of things from a character of this age, but he really doesn't care at all, and he acts as he wants. So he is punk, and the film.
Let's say the freedom that he feels, we can, and I owe a lot of that to the actor Miguel Lobantunes. He can go, let's say, on different worlds and on different levels of absorbing the world, and also the filmic language employed here is very do-it-yourself, so that there's like this very bold or punk attitude, for instance, in displaying the studio sequences like that. Also, that I know that demands a lot from the audience, and but my aim is to do a film where the audience must participate or must accept and be with the film as it's building up. I don't want to make a cinema that leads the spectator, that is, let's say, manipulative in a sense. I think we don't ever forget, because it's so artificial, that we are seeing a thing that is not real, a construction. Mm-hmm. And I want the audience to be part of it.
What can you say about the main actor?
When me and my co-writer, when we found this character and this screenplay had gone through different versions, and each time the character was more, crucial to the film, that we said, well, we have to get a professional actor to do this. On my previous film, I work with both professionals and non-professionals, but for one reason or the other, different from project to project, the main characters were always played by non-professionals. But on this one, I wanted a professional, so we casted a lot of actors, also singers. I had like 3 or 4 possibilities, but I was not totally happy. Then one night at a party, I saw Miguel. I just observed him dancing, talking to people, drinking. It was a very quiet evening, let's say. And I found myself the day after thinking about him. And, I contacted him and convinced him to do a casting. He showed a tremendous attitude. He said, he just had retired himself, so I go because you're asking me to, but of course I won't be good enough to do this. And but he came to the casting with a very good attitude and already bringing some of the character attitude, like, I have nothing to lose, I'm here to have fun, because his career was mainly as a cultural programmer. So he knows a lot about music, theater, dance, also cinema, but not from the inside. And he wanted to try to have contact with and to have fun, and he convinced us.
Awesome. What can you tell me also about the songs in your film?
It's, well, the songs were... I wanted to... not to have like a signature soundtrack. That's why I invited two composers, two different composers, to work together from different backgrounds. Then we hired the musical director, and he also started composing, so at the end it was three. And we've done... the same time we were rewriting the script, like making it better, working on it, we did sessions with the composers. So so it was really a ping-pong collaborative work. There are even scenes in the film that were proposed by the composers. We had like two or three main goals. The first was that there is no big difference when he's singing and when he's not. He talks the same way when he's singing and when he's not. The other was that the songs would not be stronger than the character or the film, but try to make it organic to this character. And they should not stop the narrative flowing. They should, on the contrary, make it go forward. And the last, but perhaps the most important, to allow us to observe him in a different way, let's say, when he's singing. And so it was all that. And then, of course, it's a game of attraction and refusal with the musical genre. Sometimes we are more near, sometimes we are far.
Can we say that this is an analogic way to see the world today?
Well, it's very artisanal, a very hands-on film. I enjoy a lot the physicality of what I shoot.
What's your opinion about technology? I mean, in this film, there's a lot of technology, but it's used to help the characters to meet each other.
Yes, it's. I'm not that interested in, let's say, this particular technology. For me, technology is just an extension of the human spirit, because that's what it is. That's what it is. I chose this area of activity for this character: security, barriers, alarms, vigilance cameras, because they allow me physical situations. So like when he's locked in that hall, or when he could be spied by the Lucinda on the so it was more to take advantage of filmic situations that that particular kind of technology allows. I think cinema is a very good tool to put on the same level some different aspects that we tend to perhaps separate too much in our everyday life.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.